keep it alive through these lines I write. I keep it live cause I thrive. I might just blow your mind tonight. I'm so hyped, but it's no hype. From this height, it's direct hits on sight. I'm your type, lend me your ears to show you that there's something in me. I'm not giving up, I'm standing right here holding these days hostage. And I'll make this my year. We turning fear into love, and the love's in the air. I love doing this cause nothing compares, nothing can share that same type of feeling when you're feeling them flares. They can't catch it, it's havoc. I rip to a tear, switch the scenario. My stereos, I leave them impaired. Variables start to change, and they're all in my range. I just gotta grab it, it's all mathematics. Every step is drastic, I make it fantastic. I'm trying to take your breath away, asthmatic.
This is live through the stereo. Go and let it blow, blow through the stereo. I'ma let them know, no through the stereo. Yo, here we go, go through the stereo, stereo. This is live through the stereo. Go and let it blow, blow through the stereo. I'ma let them know, no through the stereo. Yo, here we go, go through the stereo, stereo.
Yeah, just nod your head with it. So explicit and vivid. Every image is intricate, intimate. I put my all into it. No scrimmage and no rules. I'm a pro tool. Hear my heartbeat beating to the vocals. I'm so loco, lost my mind, oh no. It's ponderoso, dope so. No overdose, cause it's dope, yo. Man, this is house grown, mixed with some milestones. So I let the style flow down like the Dow Jones. Bringing it with some foul tones, letting the crowd no, we getting loud, so it's eardrum rudiments. Yeah, we bring it rude again. Move, little hooligan. Music for tuning in. Full time to the 10. I'm on my clock, like I told you. I'm doing this for dreams.
Hey, everybody, welcome back to the Anti-Media Radio once again with your host, Nick Burnaby, live on UCY.TV. I just want to thank our music intro and outro music, Ponder and XL, some local friends of mine here in San Diego that make some awesome hip-hop and some bring a real message with the music, which is kind of rare nowadays, you know. Tonight we're going to have some open phones. DB is going to be calling in a few minutes, my co-host, and we're going to talk about all kinds of stuff. We're going to talk about this shooter. We're going to talk about March Against Monsanto, Memorial Day, and all this good stuff. If you guys want to call in, lines are open now, 718-717-8296 if you want to call into the show, or if you want to contact us on Skype at the Anti-Media. Once again, it's 718-717-8296. Make sure you guys check out all the other hosts and journalists on UCY and all these great shows that are on here, man. It's every day of the week, all hours of the day. It's pretty much going, and they got some great content coming out. They really helped us out with the March Against Monsanto and covering all this stuff. And I guess that's really our first topic for the night, is this whole huge march that went down on Saturday, and it was just this huge global event. I don't know how many countries. There was 50-plus countries and 400-plus events. I remember the Friday before the march, we added like something like 20 events from Mexico alone, and then like 15 events in Argentina, and I mean, we're talking events going off all over the world, as far to the corners of the world, like Madagascar and Africa, Asia, South America, all these countries, man. It was huge. And the overall theme was, hey, we want our food back. We're tired of the corporate control over the food supply. And it's a March Against Monsanto, the GMO concerns, pesticides, everything. And it's all hugely concerning to our health. And it's hugely concerning to our entire way of life, because if we allow these corporations to control the entire food supply, I mean, there's no telling what kind of situation we're going to end up putting ourselves into. And I think we're joined now by DB. How you doing, man?
I'm doing good, man. Just got up here. I'm like right by Hearst Castle. Cold as hell up here, but it's been a pretty interesting drive.
Nice. Where's Hearst Castle at? I don't even know where that's at.
It's like halfway to San Francisco from our hometown, and I've just never been there, so I wanted to check it out. And then there's some other stuff going on up here, so music festival and other things like that. So thought it'd be a good time to get away, man. But yeah, everything you're saying is true. It's nothing about feeding the world and everything about controlling the food supply, and that's it. It's just that simple.
Yeah, and I think we talked about it a little bit last week. We had a great show on Friday night. We had Chris Hardy call in from South Oregon, where they just got done banning GMOs at the county level, which is completely awesome. And he was able to give a little bit of details and ideas about how to go about it. If you guys want to check that out, anyone listening that wants to look into banning GMOs at your county level, because GMOs are indeed an existential threat to property rights and detrimental to the ecosystem, and there's no real telling what it will do to the ecosystem, you know? So,
I mean, we can assume it's ruining everybody's health. It's kind of affecting mine. I mean, I'm getting ready to look into possibly starting some kind of large class action for people that have stomach issues and digestion problems from GMOs, and I'm pretty sure it's going to be easy to correlate it. And I know when I went to Peru and it was all organic, I mean, I never had any issues. So it goes way beyond what people think. This stuff literally is causing cancers as we speak. What you're eating, what you're drinking, it doesn't matter what you do, what supplements you take, they're specifically designed to shorten your lifespan by the people that ordered them.
Yeah, yeah, and all these purported benefits that they say that they do, decrease pesticide use, decrease herbicide use, increase nutritional value, better taste, and all this stuff. I mean, it's the majority of that stuff is all just marketing language, basically. None of it's actually backed by scientific research. And we have a good article on it, actually, on the Anti-Media, if you guys want to check it out. It's called Contrary to Popular Belief, Monsanto is not feeding the world or decreasing world hunger at all. So, you know, the statistics are there. I mean, in fact, it shows that the pesticide intensive GMO farming of the United States is being outperformed by the non-GMO, less pesticide use in Western Europe. So, I mean, almost everything about the argument is basically bogus. So, like, when it comes down to it, the only argument for people that are pro-GMO is, okay, well, GMOs aren't actually bad for you. Okay, they may not increase yield, they may not be solving world hunger, but at least they're not bad for you. And unfortunately, that's not true either, because GMOs end up having a higher amount of herbicide, and then you have this bioaccumulative BT toxin, which they said was not being ingested. It was just being that the human body could digest it, and it wasn't accumulating in the body. But unfortunately, new research has shown that the BT toxin is bioaccumulative, and when we eat this BT corn, BT beets, you know, any of these BT soybeans, all this stuff, we're building up this toxin in our bodies. BT toxin that comes from a bacteria, and I don't think that any toxin should be built up in your body, let alone BT from a genetically engineered organism. So yeah, the health effects of that are starting to come to light. They've shown hamsters that eat BT soybeans become infertile over a few generations. So yeah, I think it is causing a major health issue. And almost all the rebuttals that are coming out of this corporate Monsanto talking points are basically just marketing schemes. And then they claim that the people that are questioning the science, that are questioning these GMOs, they claim that we're the ones that are anti-science, when these guys are basing almost all of their logic off of marketing talking points. It's absolutely insane.
Well, yeah, I mean, there's been several studies by impartial researchers, especially researchers out of the United States, that have done these studies and said, listen, you guys have corporately funded studies with lots and lots of loopholes. They're not, there's a lot of difference to them. There's double blinds. There's all kinds of things they're missing in the protocol, on purpose, of course. And now there is a growing, pretty much movement to ban the ingredient in Roundup, because it's been shown over and over and over again to cause these problems. And now, I mean, the United States is going to be probably the only country, although we are a company, that's going to continue to use Roundup, and other countries are already going to ban the glyphosate. So they know it. The problem is the United States, until maybe a week ago, was in charge of the financial system of the world. Now, that's no longer true, so you're going to start to see other countries emboldened in their defiance. They now understand that the BRIC countries, Brazil, Russia, India, and China, have pretty much swept the rug out from underneath the U.S., and now Internet 2.0 is being built as well. A new transatlantic cable is being built to get around the NSA. So if you want to be an isolationist U.S., you're going to get it soon, right after our collapse. That's what it's looking like is going to happen.
Yeah, I mean, that's one story that kind of went under the radar, and I'm glad that we brought it up, because on Friday, all we were talking about was the march against Monsanto. China and Russia secured a deal to not only deal in their gas reserves and gas trade, but also to deal outside of the U.S. dollar. And they're going to use currency outside of the U.S. dollar to make these deals. And that deal is a pretty heavy blow, man, because if you think about it, Russia is one of the largest producers of the natural resources, of the natural gas and gas and all that stuff.
Yep.
And China is one of the biggest consumers. So that is a big blow to the dollar. And we can't forget that. And everyone that's listening, hopefully everyone that went to the march against Monsanto pretty much understands that as well. And that's another reason why we grow our own food. It's not only because we're being poisoned, but it's also because, you know, if we're not careful and we let these bureaucrats run things like the way they're doing, we could end up, the regular population will end up put in this situation where it's not very friendly at all, where, you know, we're going to be in a really tight pinch when it comes to our food supply and our freedom and stuff, and we're already there. We're already pretty close to being there. So growing your own food isn't just about the food and the health, but it's also about the freedom and having a way to be self-reliant when things aren't always running smoothly, because when we let these bureaucrats run the whole game and fall asleep at the wheel, or maybe they just pretend to fall asleep at the wheel, we can put ourselves into these situations.
Well, you know, it's coming to a head, because I read something today that said since 2012 there's been no raises, and actually this year will be the first time our hourly wage, our hourly earnings, our hourly buying power will contract since, I believe it was the 30s. That's unprecedented. I mean, for all our military might and technology, the labor you produce inside of this country is now worth a whole hell of a lot less on the world stage. Now, it hasn't hit yet, okay? They have to do it slowly. They have to do it incrementally in steps. And then one day, boom, something happens and they'll declare, you know what? And when that happens, if you don't have food and you don't have water and you don't have a way to protect yourself, it's going to be a free-for-all. I mean, it's being set up. They're preparing for that. They're buying caskets. They're arming the freaking FDA now with freaking machine guns, okay? Because everybody that has a government job is going to be a target, and they know that. This is what happened when Rome fell. I mean, people were strung out in the streets and crucified because they were public servants and they worked for the wrong people. And the same thing could very well happen. Now, how do you avoid getting caught into that mass hysteria, that panic, the huge mass of people that will be fighting over every scrap of food? Start growing, start canning, and then, of course, have guns, have other ways to trade and protect yourself and know your neighbors. But, I mean, if we can get this kind of turned around before it happens, where people start plugging out before they can pull the rug out from under everyone, well, they'll just be defeated. Their whole agenda is already kind of going up in smoke as far as the whole worldwide thing goes, and now as far as controlling us in our country, well, it's our chance to take that back before they have the drone army in the air and the surveillance net fully set.
Yeah, and I mean, talk about drone armies. I mean, did you see that latest graphic? I think it came out of Washington Post, and I mean, we're talking about a mainstream publication here. But we've got the entire belt of Africa, the whole where the equator goes through Africa. We've got American troops, but not exactly troops, but drones. We got a few special operations people that control the drones and stuff, take care of localized security for the drone operators. That's about it. And then you got a shitload of these drones that are patrolling the skies, dropping bombs on people. And all these countries in Africa have all this unrest. And it's just the same thing that we keep seeing over and over, that we got the insurgents, we got the drones fuel the insurgents are able to recruit more people because of the drones. I mean, it's over and over again. I mean, this foreign policy is perpetual. I mean, I can't believe that we're allowing this perpetual, just total war to consume all of our resources. And yeah.
Well, people don't know. They don't get it. Unless we have a draft, people are not going to wake up. It's not affecting them. They're still going, maybe they can buy a little bit less stuff. Maybe there's more shoplifting going on. Maybe there's more drinking at home and less going to the club. But more or less, people are struggling, but they're still making it. This country, if you're poor, you're still rich on the world stage. It's going to happen so drastically one day. It has to. They can't. And dramatic. People need to wake up and get ready for that. I mean, it's coming. When Russia and China had a $3 billion agreement, it killed the dollar. And the dollar is dead right now. There's probably half the world that will still take it, and the other half that's probably going to want a yuan instead. And it's getting split in that way. This is what TPP is all about. TPP is far more than taking our rights. It's actually taking away China from the world economic stage.
Yeah, and then we also got this TPIP or TIPP. TPPIP, I don't know what it's called, but it's the same thing, but we're trying to negotiate it with Europe now. And right. And a lot of these March Against Monsanto protests that went down in Europe were also going against this TPP thing. TPIP, I forget what it's called. But it's just another one of these multinational trade deals, basically, that's going to benefit the huge conglomerates, and it's going to screw basically everybody else. You know, we're all going to get stuck with low cost, crappy goods.
Most common denominator.
Yeah, I mean, it's like another one of these corporate power grabs, you know, and it's just the same pattern that we keep seeing in every aspect of everything. Now, back to what you were saying earlier about how the wages aren't increasing, and we're about to have the first decrease in wages, and then everyone's flipping out about this $15 an hour thing. $15 an hour isn't even close to a living wage, and these people, no. And everyone's turned these, and I swear half of the people that I see posting on Facebook are thinking that the people trying to get $15 an hour are the bad guys. Because of inflation, right. $15 an hour is nothing. That's not even a livable wage. You can't even live in
actually,
an apartment.
Minimum wage would be $23, so 15 is actually not even close. And here's the thing. People need to get their head out of their butt and understand something. If you have a job and you work hard and you're making it, cool. I get it. But here's the thing. When somebody doesn't have what they need, they're going to get it one way or another, or they're going to maybe pay for it with a jail sentence or their lives. There's no, like they said, there's no free lunch. There's nobody out there starving, not drinking water, and yeah, there's people pay for it, okay? The shit flows downstream. So the richest people are never going to be affected, and it's going to crush out the middle class. That's the whole plan. If you have a job right now, if you have a degree right now, a robot will be doing it in a decade or two, most likely. So where do we go from here? How do we ensure that humanity isn't enslaved by its own financial system? We've already broached it so many times that it has to be, you have to make everything free. If we need to limit our birth rates due to our resource base, and we need to tell people, we can only have two kids, we can't have three, we can't have four, we only got so much, we got to give everybody a chance for a family. If we need to get to that point in the world, that's fine. But as far as making people die from starvation because they don't have money, that is sickening and stupid. And we're wasting so many resources right now perpetuating this awful system.
Yeah. And if you look at the numbers, we literally throw away half the food that we grow. We throw away half the food that we create, right? And at the same time, 1 in 6 people in the country go hungry. That's not even counting anyone outside the country, where there's much poorer places and areas that are much worse off. So we're talking about growing enough food for the whole world, and then only certain people in the world get to eat it, and then everything else basically gets thrown away.
It's thrown away, and
for the most part, it's not even recycled. It's thrown into the dump. It mixes in with trash and plastic and all this stuff, and it's not even reused. I mean, we're talking about people mowing lawns and getting a gas powered lawnmower and you put gas in it, and you start it up to mow this lawn, which is just a total waste, because
it's the baby boomer mentality of having everything for cheap all the time, and that resource base. Not only have we drained that domestically, where the United States, pretty much, the reason we're fracking is because we have to. And then what we've done is take all of the rest of the stuff from the world. I mean, we really did. We've strip mined the whole world, man. There's not a whole lot left. And whatever is left is being fought over right now. So we got to get over this. We can't, I mean, we're so unsustainable that if there was a little hiccup in our network of food production and stuff, you'd be talking about maybe billions of people dying. I mean, it's that fragile. So everybody's got to be able to grow food no matter where they are. The technology's there right now with water condensation and solar panels. I'm pretty sure sun shines just about everywhere on the earth, and there's probably moisture in the air just about everywhere on the earth. And with those two things and some good soil, that's all you need. So it's similar to what they're doing in Peru. I only bring up Peru because I know that country pretty well, and they were giving solar panels away for free. If you came and got one, they just gave it to you. It's like $150 solar panel for the government, but guess what? That just killed all the subsidies they have to give that guy for electricity.
Yeah.
So it's just thinking smart. It's just thinking smart. It's doing things that are going to be painful for like maybe 2, maybe 5, but 20 years, 30 years down the road, everything's going to be great because everything will constantly renew. That's where we need to get. We cannot burn through, especially oil. We can't use that for using that for a fuel. It's so valuable in other ways that we're wasting it as a fuel.
Yeah, and then you got this whole NASA study that came out, which was huge. It made waves and waves and waves throughout the social media networks and all that stuff. At the rate that we're going and the rate that we're using resources and all that stuff, and that at the rate that we're aggregating wealth and resources at the very hands of a few people. And these kind of situations, when we get into these situations, the people at large can only deal with it for so long before there's a breaking point. And now in a lot of places in the world, we've already reached that breaking point. And it's already here in the U.S., it's just that we haven't really realized it yet. But yeah, we're seeing people all over the world. I mean, look at all these uprisings going on everywhere.
Right.
People have kind of just got to this point where they're like kind of done with everything. Now, the fact that the U.S. still has the reserve currency, for now we talked about that Russia-China deal, that's going to be a big blow to the dollar in the long run. While we still have this reserve currency, it puts us in this bubble. We're in like cloud 9 right now while all the rest of the world is like going at it. I mean, everywhere. It's like, and if you look at Europe, the elections that just took place, I mean, we're talking about fascism rising in Europe. If we look historically at why fascism takes hold, well, it's because there's a really bad economic situation, and then the fascists take hold because they can blame it on, the racists come to power because they can blame it on all these scapegoats.
They blame it on the immigrant wave. I mean, they're doing it now. They're calling, listen, I've heard some crazy shit, like calling for another crusade to drive out the Muslim population. What are they thinking? Like, at this point, the world is global. There's only a few places in the world where there's a true hegemony of one kind of, I guess, people, you could call it. You know, Japan's one of the few places, China, you know, Russia, there's very few inclusive places. Most places are pretty open. So Europe it must adapt and evolve or die. And you know, there's a big reason why the wealth of the world's kind of leaving Europe right now. They're going to greener pastures, South America and Asia in particular, because it's a tinder keg. It's been boiling and boiling and boiling and boiling, and now finally the economy is so crappy, people are losing their vaunted social programs. I mean, I know France is in an uproar now because they're talking about taking away that whole one-year maternity leave program for new mothers. So there's a lot of changes in the air, and people need to understand, like, it is a dance. It's a puppet show. You're a puppet if you're playing in it. And even if you're watching, it's still awful to see it. So we got to combat it here, man. Like, they're going to do the whole divide and conquer thing, and it will work. The less intelligent part of the population are going to fight at it. They'll go food riot and everything else. But people listening and people with a conscience and a mind have to understand what's going on. The way to fight it is just outlast them. And we're doing a decent job, and people are starting to understand what GMOs are. I drop GMOs now constantly in conversation. I never hear, what is that, from anyone anymore. I mean, the mindset's already kind of changed. These guys have got to understand that the world is so different now, and there's no way to change it. The elites have got to give up control one way or another. They're going to either go down with it or come out and become leaders. That's the only options I see.
Yeah, and especially in France, man, we had this big anti-immigrant, racist, fascist type of party sweep these elections. In the UK, we had what they call themselves libertarians, the UKIP, which is a United Kingdom Independent Party. But at the same time, they are also anti-immigrant. So now the other thing besides just the monetary system, because obviously back in pre-Nazi Germany, they had the Weimar Republic, the Weimar Republic collapsed, the Nazis came to power. So of course you got the economic situations, right?
Right.
Now there's some other factors here that lead into this fascist kind of mind state. Okay, and now at least with this modern era, all this foreign policy, all these wars and destabilization that we've been doing in the Middle East, think about here in the U.S. How many of the immigrants here in the U.S. that are from the Middle East are Christian Iraqis, Chaldean people? A lot of them.
Yep.
Okay, and that is, and because there's such an influx, it leads these simple-minded people to think that the reason why they aren't getting paid well at their job is because there's so many Chaldeans coming into the country. But they're completely wrong on that front, because first of all, it's the economic and the monetary system like we talked about, but second of all, it's the foreign policy that we're doing in these countries, destabilizing these countries. Libya, Syria, how many refugees are coming out of these countries and coming into the U.S. and going into Europe and Italy and all these places. And because of the foreign policy, it drives all these people that normally wouldn't want to be leaving the country, but they're leaving because they're trying to get away from the violence, into these other countries. And then that's causing more of this nationalistic, racist, rhetoric and political ideology that's coming to power now in Europe. So, I mean, on both sides, I think the U.S. is kind of at fault, and the EU, as well, because of the ECB and the Euro monetary system and all that stuff. So, I mean, we're nailing the Middle East with all this foreign policy. Europe is basically, almost every country in Europe is basically really struggling economically. They're almost all in recession and all that stuff. Except for Germany, which of course, history repeats itself. Germany's always going to be the strong hand in Europe.
Well, look at the topography. And the UK is going to go back to I don't even think they even went ever officially to the euro, but they want to go now back to their pound or their sterling or whatever, backed by silver, which I thought was hilarious. Because the people there are finally like, come on, like we're so different than the rest of Europe. Like, we're more America than Europe in a lot of ways, so we can't just tie our money to them. We got to be kind of the middleman between Europe and America. They want to go back to that whole thing. And then I don't know if you read recently, but London supplanted Moscow for the most billionaires, because it's going to be shifted back to the middleman, and there's going to be this halving of the world soon. It's going to be this NATO complex and then this Asiatic Eurasia complex with Russia and China on one side, and whatever happens, happens. I don't know. But these are the trade blocks being formed right now.
Yeah, and the world war right now is being waged at the economic level and the proxy
foreign
level.
Space.
You know? I mean, it seems like for now the Ukraine stuff has kind of cooled a little bit. They had their elections and all that good stuff.
Goldman Sachs billionaire won by a huge margin, and now $50 billion will come into the Western Ukraine, but of course the entire infrastructure will be privatized.
It'll be leveraged, right? Bankers.
They'll strip mine at first, yeah.
It'll be leveraged to the World Bank, to the IMF, and all these guys, and which is basically controlled by the same actors, you know, J.P. Morgan and all these idiots that have been running things forever that have been the big cause of the lead to this wealth disparity, which is why the world is so pissed. Now,
and it's also why George Soros just dumped all of his stocks in the four major banks.
Yeah, I didn't even know that.
He sees what's coming because they're insolvent. I mean, if you read some recent articles, ship all of their physical collateral in durable goods, meaning metals, to China. I mean, it's just so much massive amounts of trillions of dollars of interest is accumulated in their owed. I mean, so it's just if you have money, a big bank pull it. That's always been a good idea. But now, if Soros dumped over $2 billion of stocks in B of A, J.P. Morgan, Citi, and Wells, well, it's probably a good idea that you get your money out of those accounts. It's just my opinion, but it's all forbear. It ties in with the banker suicides. There's a massive, massive, massive collapse. Something like the Great Depression times, I don't know, 10 or 100 or 1,000. However many people you think are going to go nuts in our country when things get tough.
Yeah, and you know, there was this article that came out of Zero Hedge, I think yesterday or the day before, and it was kind of hilarious to the fact that the Federal Reserve of Chicago, their cafeteria had to send a letter out to all the people that work there saying, "Hey, we're gonna have to raise our prices due to the prices of all of our food and stuff going up between 3% and 33%." Now, at the same time, of course, we have the Fed saying, the official Fed talking point says that basically our biggest threat right now is deflation, and that they need to do more to inflate the dollar. And so I guess there's a big disparity there of reality when it comes to what's actually happening, where the food that actually feeds the people at the Federal Reserve, the prices may have to go up 33% because of the inflation, while at the same time the people that work there think that the inflation is too low and that they need to get it higher in order to help the economy, when in reality what's happening, and it's well known now. I mean, if you subscribe to any news outlet besides the mainstream stuff, you'll know that the monetary policy, the quantitative easing, Ben Bernanke, and now I can't even remember the lady's name that's in charge now, but Janet Yellen. Everything that they're doing is just making the rich richer and the poor poorer, well, and that's what they're doing.
It's the duplicity of the 1%, man. It's like they know that their dollar and their own value is going to collapse. Therefore, to continue their whole vaunted position in society, why not make the dollar worth a hell of a lot less so I can keep buying these luxury goods and living this life up? Because I don't know, I got a couple $100 million. What do I give a shit if it goes down? Who cares about the little people? It needs to be inflated more so that my money has more value since I have a lot more of it. And that's the way it works. I mean, until we get to the point where we put a maximum wage and a minimum wage and we have a guaranteed Maslowian like economy and things are given away that can be produced cheaply and mass produced and everyone needs, they'll keep playing these monetary games that lead to real people suffering. I mean, for them, it's fun and games, dude. They'd rather have everyone else do a lot worse so that they could figuratively do a lot better. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and I mean, there's no I see no problem with it, someone coming up with a great idea and making $1 billion. I mean,
no,
that's fine.
But who does that?
Yeah, but I mean, the guys right now that we see that are billionaires, they're not exactly these kind of people. They're more or less these guys that have got in bed with the government, and they've been able to work the government into their favor, where basically everything they're doing is supplemented by the government, and it enables them to stack believable amounts of riches, while at the same time, there's hundreds of millions of people in the world that are just going starving, going hungry, going broke, going without a place to live, going homeless, not being able to drink clean water. I mean, getting diarrhea in the third world countries every single day because the water is just contaminated. I mean, it's absolutely insane. And then these things like this TPP thing and the other one that's for Europe, TPPIP or whatever, these kind of things just seek to extend that gap. Because I don't know any small business. The small business people that I know, the people that own small businesses, they don't even know what the hell the TPP is. Because that the TPP isn't going to benefit them any. The TPP is going to benefit Walmart. It's going to benefit these giant multinational corporations. It's not going to benefit the small businessman at all. The small businessman does business internationally with no tariff. He deals in Bitcoin. You know what I'm saying? That's what that's where we got to start moving. It's not these huge trade agreements. These trade agreements aren't going to help anybody but the one percenters. And it's anything but a free market because it's not being negotiated from individual to individual or business to business. It's being done government to government, and mostly being done by advisors of corporations. And that's it. I mean, it's not going to really help anybody but them. And they're selling it to us like a job creating.
It's by lobbyists or lobbyists.
Exactly, and it's being sold to us as a job-creating bill, and it's going to help our economy, even though they claim the economy's already fixed. Well, I don't know why you need to fix the economy if it's already fixed, like you guys say. But that's what it's being sold as, and unfortunately, if the TV says it enough, a lot of people are going to believe it. Not everybody, but maybe a good 30% of the population will believe it.
Well, we also have another huge, huge problem with basically the way that people's belief systems have been devolved in this country. For instance, I was talking to somebody about GMOs who has a degree in biology, and because a French study came out with the rats and the tumors, that was illegitimate. It could only be good if it was an American study. I had to explain over and over and over again how completely impartial you'd have to be to actually come up with the right results, and you couldn't be corporately funded, which it would be if it was an American study, but it didn't make any sense. The brainwashing is at a literally fundamental level here, to the point where people just, they can't even fathom the illusion they live in every facet of their lives. They have to break themselves down like me and you have for years before they're able to accept new information like this. But the problem is, if we don't get a hurry on it and start changing things quick, it cements. It gets put into the law, and then it's almost impossible to boot it out of there because people are so politically uninvolved, they won't repeal anything.
Yeah, and I was in biotechnology back in high school. It was one of the few actual classes that they offered at my school that was actually future-looking for the economy and stuff, because the biotechnology is a growing trade. And there are some good aspects of biotechnology for sure, but unfortunately this crap that they're pushing out with this BT corn and the Roundup Ready crops is not really good technology. It's unhealthy and it's bad for the ecosystem. But anyway, back in high school, man, back when I was in this class when I was like 15, 16, they were already telling us, oh yeah, labeling GMOs is a bad idea. That's not something that we want to do. That's something we should resist because it's just some cooked up stuff from these environmental activists that don't have any clue about science. And that's basically the talking point. I'm guessing that it carries on through college because it was in my high school.
Oh yeah.
You're right. I mean, it's completely these scientists, these bio students that are in college and stuff, yeah, they've been brainwashed for years and years about how bad GMO labeling would be and how it's unneeded and how it goes against science and stuff, when in reality all it is just freedom of choice. I mean, everyone should have a choice of what they want to choose, you know?
Yeah, I mean, at this point, a four-year degree pretty much is solidifying you as an educated idiot, because you're going to know a lot of facts. They're all about things you've never firsthand once verified with your own eyes. Not even once. You just take it as a dogma that it is. You know, people that go to medical school, they eat organic. They know what's up. People that are nutritionists that actually have masters or, God forbid, PhDs,
They don't eat this stuff. They know what's going on. Dentists don't use fluoride. They don't get, you know, metal put in their mouth because they know it will poison their blood. They don't tell you this because it's cheaper, it's more profitable, and ultimately they want you gone anyway. If you're dumb enough to do the stuff that's accepted, good riddance to you. So that's the way I see it, man. America, in a way, is kind of a clearinghouse for people that are gullible. It's a snake oil salesman nation that's continued to this day, and now it's at its extreme. It's to the point now where if you believe propaganda, you're going to die from cancer. If you actually research and clean your body out and are healthy about it, you'll probably live 10, 15, 20 years longer than a lot of these people will. I mean, when I hear about people getting cancer and doing chemo and it doesn't work and they don't even try, they don't even attempt to go to Colorado or Washington to get this Rick Simpson oil, then I have to say, unfortunately, good riddance to you, because the information is out there and ignorance is a choice. And it's hurting everyone. It's hurting me. All these people that know nothing are hurting my life.
And, you know, here's something really, to me, that really stands out. And it should really lend a little bit of credence to what you were saying just now. But the greatest threat to children before, the main way children died in the past was due to accidents. Basically, a kid climbing a tree, falling out of a tree, breaking his neck and dying. A kid getting hit by a car, riding his bike. A kid riding a skateboard and falling off a ledge or whatever. Okay, that was for the longest time, ever since they've been recording the deaths of children and the statistics and all these things. That was what killed most children. And as of last year, you know what became the number one killer of children?
I guess it's leukemia.
It's cancer. So you know, we have to start to wonder here. We sit here and we're like, okay, well, you know, all of a sudden, all these kids are dying of cancer, right? And you have little kids having heart attacks. You have little kids with diabetes, massive obesity, and you have all these diseases with these kids. Autism rates are going exponentially. Now it's 1 in 88. 1 in 88 right. Children born in 2014 is going to have autism. Right. Okay, and so we get to this point where we're like, okay, well, either we can just keep on believing the media when they say, well, we're still not sure what's causing this alarming jump in autism rates and diabetes.
It must be environmental pollution from all these cars.
I mean,
even though we have these technology has gotten cleaner and cleaner and cleaner. It was this dirtiest in the very beginning of Industrial Revolution, the 1880s, 1890s. Cleaner and cleaner. It probably hit its dirtiest peak in the 40s or 50s because of just our pure consumption levels. But industrial pollution and environmental pollution, it's not what's doing this. Extrapolate the facts. Look at when things jump. It was the 90s. What happened? GMOs infiltrated. That's it. Game over. GMOs became accepted in food and then our vaccines. And then, of course, who the hell knows what's in our water supplies nowadays? And we're bombarded, and I mean literally and figuratively bombarded with things all day. Chemtrails also play into that. So it doesn't take a lot of digging. I mean, you can look 1992, William Clinton, look what he signed, look at the things he signed into law, and look at the influx of GMOs and the modification of everything, even trees now being modified. So we're in 22 years after the consequences, they're here. They're looking us in the eye. The generation is sick and it's dying and it's worse physical condition than our parents.
Yeah, but, you know, anyone that wants to talk and say things like that would be considered anti-science in America. And it's just hilarious to think that we've gone from 1 in 500 children having diabetes just a decade or two ago. Not diabetes, I'm sorry. 1 in 500 having autism a decade or two ago to now 1 in 88 in 2014. What? I mean, anyone to say that we shouldn't be looking at any of this stuff that we're consuming, whether it be through our food, our water, or any other thing that's entering into our bloodstream, like vaccines and things like that. If anyone's saying, no, we shouldn't question that, you're an idiot, or you're anti-science for questioning that, well, then the people saying that have no effing clue what science is all about. Because when we see that things are happening and people are getting sick on a massive scale, then we start looking at things that we normally would think would just be normal, like GMOs have become, because of all the marketing campaigns and all the infiltration between government and media and these chemical companies. It became a norm for a while, but now, of course, with this March Against Monsanto event, and over the weekend we saw millions of people come out. And this, to me, is just absolutely telling about the rate of people willing to take a stand on things that they believe in. And the food is one thing that affects almost everybody. Of course, everybody's, you know, we did a protest against drones. You know, not that many people showed up, because drones don't affect everybody. Drones only affect people in the Middle East, and only people that follow the anti-media and similar websites know about the drones killing innocent people in the Middle East. So, yeah. But everybody has to eat this food, and everyone's realizing, damn, I have three friends that have kids with autism, or I have two friends that aren't able to have children, or I have two friends in their 30s that already have cancer, or my mom has cancer and my grandma has cancer, or, you know, all these crazy things. Diabetes. My grandma just got diagnosed with diabetes, and I mean, my other grandma has
this late in the game,
serious
huh?
issues. Yeah, man. I mean, it's like
I'm sure her diet didn't cause that over years. I'm sure there's so many things now floating around. I mean, I think you broached on it last time. You don't have to have a war. We're sitting here in a place where the super bugs and the super viruses and bacteria that cannot be killed are right at our doorstep. And then in combination with all these man-made, horribly detrimental things for our health, I mean, we're going to have...
There's just so many things going on in the environment, so many things that are causing that could be causing all these different illnesses, that we need to start really getting down and questioning, and not only questioning, but just stop consuming this stuff until they can definitely prove that it's not causing all this damage. Because all this new technology, the GMO technology with the food, that should carry the burden of proof. It shouldn't be the people that have been growing food. They shouldn't be the ones that have to label their food organic. It should be the people that are bringing in this new technology having to say, okay, my food is not organic, it's GMO. If you want to eat it, go ahead. And if you do eat it, you know, then there could be some kind of side effect because we haven't had enough time to study it. But that's not the case. In the case as of right now, the organic farmer has to spend the extra money and get the certification and get the labeling, and the GMO guy just gets to print, grow his stuff and just throw it out in the market and hope nothing happens.
Right. And they have to meet stringent requirements too, because, get this, there's too many bugs in them. I mean, this is that to me is just hilarious, that they're worried about people crunching on some nutritious, cheap protein instead of biting stuff that makes the stomachs of insects explode. It's ridiculous. People in other countries, they kind of snicker and laugh, but then when these TPP things happen, they're going to be invaded too by these nasty Monsanto subsidiaries. You know, I told my friend in Peru, where they have a complete GMO ban for 10 years and they just bumped it to 15. Like, that'll never pass. I'm like, just watch it. Well, you're going to lose your vaunted awesome food supply, and watch what happens to your country. It'll be awful. You're just going to see your health rates skyrocket and everything else. He's like, it's not going to work here. We'll take to the streets. And I hope he's right. But if it takes that to make these changes, so be it. And then we got to do away with all this partisanship and all this cronyship. It's just killing us, literally.
Yeah. And Now, of course, this latest march against Monsanto, I think it has evolved from, you know, just saying, you know, screw Monsanto, to saying, hey, well, there's actually some solutions that we can bring about. And that's what I really like this time around. I mean, almost every march that I saw talked about solutions and how we can start growing our own food and taking it back into our own hands. And now what's cool is Lee Camp showed up down in New York City and gave a couple minutes of some awesome comedy and some commentary on the Monsanto situation. And here in San Diego, we had some beekeepers that came out, and of course we have that Harvard study that just came out earlier last week, right before the march, that basically 100% showed why the bees are declining, and they showed it was because of these neonicotinoid pesticides that are heavily used on the GMO crops. And the Harvard study showed that 1 in 6 colonies that were not infected, where the bees were not exposed to the neonicotinoids, only 1 in 6 would have a colony that would be abandoned. And then literally 50% of the ones that where the bees were exposed to the neonicotinoid pesticides would experience colony collapse disorder, which is what's killing off all these bees and which is driving right. them off, and they have nowhere to go, and they lose their way, and then they just wander off and die, because a bee without its hive can't survive, you know. So right. You know, it's so apparent now, and the study couldn't have come at a better time. And at the same time, just like we had on Friday, we had these guys from Oregon banning GMOs. Now we got Vermont requiring labeling by this summer. So, I mean, the
tide turned already. I mean, this is just the mop-up duty right now, and we got to just keep the pressure on. Keep it on, keep it on. Make it so that it is what it is. It's untested, long-term, and it's definitely proven short-term to be detrimental to your health. It's much like fluoride. The fact that me and you have fluoride in our water, so we got to do something about that. The fact that there's GMOs in our food and we don't know, so we can assume in all of our food, we can't allow that to happen. If you want to be a cheapskate and buy cheap food, by all means, go ahead. I'll see you at the doctor's later for some major surgery, I'm sure. But if you want to eat clean, eat healthy, try to, you know, maintain your health into your 80s. I see people that are vegan that are 70. They look like they're 30. It's typical. No toxins in. Nothing will come to your skin. You're going to look pretty good. Everything's going to stay pretty sharp until the telomeres on the ends of your DNA strands start to unravel, and that's inevitable. And I'm sure in 50 years we'll find a way to have them stay tied on too. So don't fall into this game. This cheap food, you pay now or you pay later. I know you could be hit by a bus tomorrow and that Big Mac tastes good right now, but odds are in your favor you won't, and you're going to suffer later and suffer hard.
Yeah, man, and that's really what it's about. It's about our health, our kids. Are we going to allow our kids to keep having these issues where we're going to have autism rates rising exponentially? I mean, where does it stop? If we had a couple decades ago 1 in 500 and now it's 1 in 88, I mean, what is it going to be in 10 years? 1 in 2? Everyone?
Well, I mean, what's going to get to? People are going to keep believing the junk science. They're going to keep falling for these red herrings like Jenny McCarthy, who pretty much made it a mockery to question vaccines. Now you're a laughing stock to question, whereas before we knew something was up, but you know what? She made it into a no-no and politically incorrect, and among the idiots that watch those shows, by the way. So everybody knows that research is GMOs kill vaccines, GMOs are killing our food, GMOs are killing everything. Every organism on Earth can be affected by this crap. And they really don't care because they have their own hydroponic garden, they have their own completely filtered deep wells, and they live underground if anything pops up off here. So it's up to us to protect us. And if you're not doing your share, I mean, I'm sorry to say it, but you're in our way.
Yeah, man, and that's one of the things I spoke about on Saturdays is about taking it back at the community level. You know, and as I mentioned earlier, it's not just about the food and the health, but the freedom and getting off the grid. Now, we got a few more minutes here. I just want to try to get some of this news covered. And I wanted to get your opinion on what you thought about this guy, this shooter up there by UC Santa Cruz in Isla Vista, whatever that place was.
Right. I just drove through Santa Barbara today, actually, believe it or not, and a very heavy police presence. doing some digging, just found out, you know, it's a college town run amok, man. Imagine just San Diego State being a city. That's what it is. It's got a big problem with a lot of different counterculture and anti-society kind of culture going on. I mean, shit, they banned all the dispensaries. You know, how are people supposed to relax? They just go out and get drunk, have ragers, and do all kinds of stupid shit. I mean, it's the frat mentality citywide. And the beach mentality mixed in, dude. And so you have powder kegs like that where you have this kid and he'll, you know, live this pampered life. And when things don't go exactly like he wants them to, he goes GTA. He probably played those games his whole life and he had complete disconnect from the real world. So I don't know what to say, man. That city is a weird one. I stopped through there. I talked to a few people. I asked one guy about it and he said, I'm surprised something like this doesn't happen more often because, you know, when things get crazy, they get super crazy, and it just is what it is. It's a sign of the times. They're going to politicize it and try to I don't know what they're going to do. What are they going to do, ban knives? I think he killed 7 people with knives or injured a bunch. I mean, what's the solution? And the craziest thing about it now is they want to tie in police with all psychiatric records. Did you hear about this? That to me is more than Orwellian. They're going to now have a pre-crime department set up in Santa Barbara because of this. You can be promised on that.
Yeah, I mean, it's the whole thing is messed up. The police presence, the father supposedly made some remarks that said, you know, it's because that we didn't ban guns. That's why my son went on his rampage. It's because we didn't ban guns, because I don't know. Did the kid have the gun legally? Was it his gun? I mean, I don't know.
Yeah, he did. But you know what? If who's to say that if he was in Texas, somebody didn't pull it out and take him out? I mean, there's not enough police. When disaster seconds away, police are only minutes away. It's going to be like that. There's no pre-crime that's going to prevent all this stuff. You're going to arrest innocent people and use it for political purposes. And we know it's not going to do anything preventatively to make anyone safer. You can't take someone out before they do something. That's not the way that quantum physics works. There is such a thing as free will and making decisions on a level that a computer can never figure out before it happens, no matter how many algorithms they develop. So it's a slippery slope. We can see what's happening. It's making Minority Report come up for discussion. And of course, another gun grab. And it's funny, isn't it, how it's always on these coasts? I mean, it's obviously on some of the coasts. And we've talked about what purposes those are for before. We don't need to brush that again. But it's going to be West Coast, East Coast, West Coast. They'll go back and forth. These things will just go back and forth until the coasts are gun free. And then we know where it commence. And then I'm out of here.
And then it's time to pack our bags. And
exactly.
hope
it until that happens.
It's time to pack our bags and hope that they haven't built the border fence yet.
There you go.
To me, it's this entitled mentality that's been bred. This kid figured that women should be falling at his feet, and he couldn't figure out why. And he just lost it, and unfortunately there's a lot of people like that, and there's a lot of people on a lot of meds that are going to be doing these kind of very, very extreme things that are way outside of the regular thought process, because their thoughts are being altered not only by the propaganda and like you said, yeah, the video games, we have a part to play, but the drugs, man, and the prescription drug, the legal drug, the drugs that all the people, even the Christians, will use, you know, and these are the ones that really do all the killing. And we've seen the stats, the more deaths are done on legal overdoses than are done by illegal drugs, and everyone gets thrown into jails and all this stuff because of these illegal drugs that don't really kill that many people. And then these people become part of the system, and they get institutionalized. They probably hop on the prescription drugs to hop off the meth and all that stuff. And it's just a deadly cycle. Now we got Obamacare coming in, and we always come back to this because now with Obamacare, everybody's going to be medicated if the law survives. We're all going to be hopped up on meds because you're not really going to have a choice.
Brave New World.
Yeah, it's just like all these dystopian novels of back in the day when everyone was hopped up on these drugs and they were put into these sex frenzies and all these things, just like with, you know, the ecstasy and all this stuff. And the legal narcotics like the Oxycontin and all this stuff. It's so much similar to these dystopian stories that we've seen over and over again, and it's coming so true. And now we got the drones, the autonomous machines, the computers taking over with the AI. I mean, we're in a brave new world for real, and it's time that we really try to rein this stuff in.
Yeah, I mean, in the future, it's going to be the brave and the dead, man. That's it.
All right, guys. Thanks for tuning in to the Anti-Media Radio. Catch you guys on Wednesday night with some fresh stories. Yo, here we go through the stereo.